The Perry campaign asked for White's taxes for 192 days. White did release tax records twice during the debate battle between the candidates, and then all taxes for his years as Houston mayor. But that just wasn't enough for Perry and his campaign spokesman, Mark Miner.
If he had nothing to hide, he would have released the taxes months ago. Now he's just playing a game with the people of Texas. Governor Perry's ready to debate. He's debated numerous times throughout his career. He's eager to debate Bill White, but this is a matter of transparency and becoming honest with the people of Texas, which Bill White has not been doing.
Bill White, of course, doesn't see it that way. For him, the stalemate has become a matter of principle and what he's called Perry's sense of entitlement after 10 years as governor.
He's a career politician who thinks that giving your opponent the opportunity to debate is a favor to the other campaign that should be withheld or bestowed on your terms. That's the wrong principle. Public debate is a principle of accountability that's owed to the public.
In the end, there were no additional tax returns released, and the Perry campaign isn't planning to revisit the topic. So for now, there will be no debate. Rod Hart is director of the Annette Strauss Institute for Civic Participation and dean of UT Austin's College of Communication.
Certainly, it has been a trend that has developed and waxed and waned over the years. Typically, incumbents are much less willing to debate than candidates during an open primary or an open election.
Look down ballot and you'll find dozens of races without debates, the vast majority in races with strong incumbents and a weak challenger. With a big lead, there's just no reason to give a challenger a chance to get FaceTime with voters. And, as the people of Arizona witnessed earlier this month with Governor Jan Brewer, debates can lead to mistakes.
We have done everything that we could possibly do. We have did what was right for Arizona.
But Hart says that's not a good enough excuse to dodge a debate, especially when viewed through the lens of civic participation.
Even if a governor has a kind of a meltdown and it's a political risk, it's a greater risk for the citizenry not to have public officials debate ideas in front of them.
Tell that to Brewer, who still holds a big lead in Arizona, but quickly nixed any future debates. There again, it's the incumbent with a big lead saying no. UT Austin Associate Professor of Government Sean Theriault says recently not just strong incumbents are declining to debate.
Over the last 10 years, we've seen more debate refusals, but it's only been this election cycle where so many prominent candidates who have legitimate challengers are refusing to debate, and that's a clear indication of the increasing segmentation of the news media.
Theriault says if a campaign needs media coverage, it goes to a media outlet that provided favorable coverage in the past. That, in part, has led to what he says is a new partisan component to those declining to debate, because both conservatives and liberals have begun questioning the motives of the media outlets that sometimes conduct the debates, like in 2008, when Democratic presidential candidates declined to debate on Fox News.
Now, when both sides view mainstream media so skeptically and run off to Fox News and MSNBC for their source of news, there's very little incentive for candidates who don't want a debate to debate.
The last time Texans didn't get a gubernatorial debate was 1990, when Democrat Ann Richards defeated Republican Clayton Williams. Back then, there wasn't a specific topic, like Bill White's taxes, that kept them apart. As one election watcher told me, the two just spent so much time on the campaign giving each other the middle finger, a civil debate was pretty much out of the question. Reporting for KUT News and the Texas Tribune, I'm Ben Philpott.